it is what it is now at the minute. I'm happy to be back and everything like that, but I wish I wasn't back, because that means I'll be in doing what I do best in the ring, you know.
Yes. Okay, well, let's go back a little bit now, because we'll have to just set the scene. I suppose the scene was the North American Boxing Championship. Glenn Tapia, the man up against you, you were taking him on. It was going to be 12 rounds, and after the first round, you did well. After the second, still doing good. What happened then?
Yeah, you know, the fight was going to plan. Everything was going to the way I visioned it, the way I planned it. You know, Glenn Tapia was a confidence fighter. He was a fighter that I had to get on top of early. I had to hurt him early on, and that's exactly what I was doing. You know, first round, he kind of did a dance into the corner as soon as the bell went. You know, I caught him with a lovely right hand and a left hook at the end of the round, and he was on wobbly legs after that, and for his luck, the bell went, and pity it didn't, because that would probably been the fight over, and the hand would be good, and I might have had another two or three fights behind me, you know. But look, the way I'm looking at this, everything happens for a reason. I'm still young, I'm hungry, I'm determined, and this is only a minor blip. It's just I think it's a chance for me to mentally test myself to see how everything is right now upstairs, because, you know, this is a stage in your career where you won your first title, you're the first main event, you're on American national TV, ESPN, it was all over the world then, you know, so winning a good fight there, getting your first title, things are meant to keep rolling thick and fast after that, whereas for me, I had to kind of sit back and, you know, weigh things up and look at things and says, this isn't the way I visioned it, this isn't the way that I planned things to work out for myself, but as I say, you know, it's been very mentally testing more than anything else, and I'm just staying positive, and the best is yet to come.
So you hurt you knew exactly when you hit him that something happened to your hand.
Yeah, in the second round I caught him with it was near the end of the second round, because I wobbled him again in the second round. He went back onto the ropes and the ropes kept him up. He was going down only for the ropes, but I remember catching him with a clean backhand, and I was like, oh, that didn't feel right at all. You know, the pain shot right up through my hand and up through my arm, and I knew something was very badly wrong. So I tried throwing it once or twice more, and it just, it was too painful and it wasn't happening. So I had to completely change my game plan, of course. You know, you're 100% fighter getting into the ring with two hands, yep. You know, and you lose one of them. You're only 50% of the fighter that you really are, because, you know, two hands is it's a massive help, do you know what I mean? And as the fight progressed, I kind of got into a stage throughout the fight where I'm not going to say that I panicked, but I had to really adapt to it, and it took me a round or two, maybe two or three rounds to adapt, and that was the way it went for me, you know, coming in then to the middle part of the fight, I came back into myself after the sixth round, then I was really starting to outclass him, outbox him.
With one hand.
With one hand, yeah. You know, it was just, I had to go back to my amateur days, really, and I think that's the importance of having a great amateur career, because I had to go back to sticking a move with a jab, using my footwork, using the ring generalship and everything like that, and it worked great for me, because one of the judges didn't have me losing one round.
That is exactly right. I saw the fight. I'm not an expert in boxing, but I could see there was something wrong with your right hand. But I'm surprised that the two men that were commentating, Teddy Atlas and Bernard Hopkins, you know, very, very experienced men, that they didn't actually see, and they were criticizing you for your performance.
Yeah, this is the sport that I live in. This is the world that we live in, you know what I mean? People are going to look at things and people are going to judge you on everything. You're only as good as your last fight, and that's the way boxing is. And I'm sure, you know, you're into sport, Miles, and you have seen it throughout the years. And as long as you've been covering it, a team might be doing well, one bad performance, Asha, they're terrible, or this, or whatever. You know what I mean? But there's a great saying that lions don't pair themselves with sheep, you know what I mean? With the opinions of sheep. And, you know, that's the way I try to look at it. You know, I try to look at it that there's a lot of people out there and they're all going to chat, they're all going to talk, but you just have to stay focused. You have to keep the blinkers on and you have to concentrate. As long as myself and my team understood the reason of everything happening in that fight, we're coming away more confident from that fight, because we know that we can go a full title fight with one hand and come away victorious. Right. You know, so that's what it's all about.
Uh-huh. Tell me, did you speak with Glenn afterwards and put the point to him? Did he know that you hurt your hand?
It's very funny because Glenn's a bit of Conor McGregor, Floyd Mayweather type of fighter. He likes to talk a lot and he likes to do a lot of this, you know. But after the fight, he came up to me and gave me a hug and everything. And this was in the changing rooms afterwards. You know, he was beat up. He had stitches in his right eye and everything as well. And I had a big ice bag on my hand and everything, you know. And I think this is where the sport of boxing has so much respect for each other, because you get two men in there trying to knock each other out, and after they're giving each other hugs. You know, you don't see that in too many sports. But it was funny because a week or 10 days after it, I actually messaged him on social media and I says, "Well, Glenn, how are you feeling? Because I'm not feeling too good." I was very sore. It was a, you know, it wasn't my first time going the distance, but it was a grueling kind of fight, you know, yeah. And he's a heavy hitter, and you know, just every part of your body be aching after a fight like that. And I heard also that he wasn't able to travel home for 48 hours after the fight because he was a little bit dizzy and everything after the fight, you know. So my main objective was to message him and see how he was. That's what initiated the text to him, mm-hmm. you know. But then we had a bit of fun then saying, "I hope you're all right, because I'm not feeling too great myself."
Well, the only difference was you won.
Exactly. And I was just writing the message and I was saying, "Thank God I'm the victorious here," because if it was the other way about and you're feeling that sore and you're going through that much pain and you lost, you know, that's another great taster for me to understand that don't ever lose.
Don't ever lose is right. So, okay, let's move forward. What state are you in at the moment now? I see a plaster on your arm, I suppose, even from the fingers up.
Yep. I'm in a hard cast now at the minute because I went back to LA there a few weeks ago and thought everything was going to plan, getting back into the ring shortly, had a splint on the hand just at that time. I was going to get that off and get back in and get ready for action. But the real problem was the tendon. That's where I got the surgery. And the doctor was delighted with that at the time. He says it's 90-95% healed. Now it's 100%. The tendon's top. There's not a problem there. Moving in, then he just got a CT scan for to check the bones, just to make sure everything was all right. And he had a look at where I had the two breaks, and they just didn't knit back together as quick as he had wanted it or he had thought. So for the next 6 weeks, I had to put on a cast, and I'm using a bone stimulator as well that helps the blood flow go through the hand and through the arm to help speed up the bone healing and everything like that. So at the minute, I'm just got a little more weeks to kind of play with and stuff like that, because it's just been a stage where I had to really, you know, be very patient. And for a 26-year-old that's 13-0 and, you know, starting to climb the ladder in his career that he always wanted, that was challenging, you know.
Yeah, and so how do you feel now? What's your thought process at the moment?
Well, every day goes by, I'm getting excited because I know it's a day closer to me getting back into the ring and doing what I do. But, you know, I'm training away every day. I'm keeping in shape. You know, I haven't put on any weight. I've stayed just above the fighting weight as I usually do. Mm-hmm. And, you know, this is where I'm delighted with my progress, because I know there's a lot of fighters out there that injuries like this happen to and they just go off the radar. They blow up. Mm-hmm. You know, they go maybe 30, 40 pounds above their weight and it takes them too long to get back into it. Yeah. Boxing's a short career, and for any sports person, your career's always going to be short. Mm-hmm. You know, injuries take a year out, year and a half, 2 years. That's a lot out of a career, you know, and I don't plan on taking any of that time out. I plan on, as soon as my hand's ready to go, I'll be ready to go, because I'm keeping in shape.
Tell us about the training that you are doing.
Yeah, I'm working away up in the Finn Valley Centre there with Patsy McGonigal, with my strength and conditioning coach Sean Foley as well. And I'm also getting well looked after by Amanda Withrow as well, down in Donegal Physiotherapy down there. She looks after me and keeps me in shape, keeps the muscles and everything right, you know. So I'm being very well looked after over here, doing a lot of training with my coaches and everything on this side of the pond, and they're all keeping me in great, and I'm in great hands.
You have your tartan track down there. How fast can you do at 200 metres?
Well, that's for Patsy. He holds the staff wise, so you can get in touch with him.
I'm sure it's the number you have to do rather than the speed
that's
that you
it,
do,
that's
to do
it.
One.
Definitely, yeah. Without a doubt.
And then it's to do with the short rest in between, maybe.
Aye, the time always seems to get a little bit longer as the maybe you do 60, 10, 200 laps.
Okay.
And as you get into the 6 to the 10 mark, you know, it starts getting, the time starts getting a little bit tighter. So
right, so you're going fairly fast, obviously, yeah. If you're not consistent.
Exactly,
there.
Yeah.
So you're going to be back in good shape. Are you doing any ring work at all, or can you do any ring work?
Yeah, I'm doing a lot of footwork, you know, doing footwork. A lot of movement and everything like that. Obviously, I can't throw no punches or anything like that, but I'm also using my left hand as well, so... Don't want to say it too much because, you know, everyone's going to look out for the right hand. That used to be my strongest, but I guarantee you now my left's going to be far stronger than my right next fight.
Really?
Yeah, 100%.
I'm just curious as well, what gives you the strength in the punch? You know, there are many strong people, but they mightn't be able to punch very well or very hard. You know, what have you got that...
There's a great saying, and it's speed kills.
Right.
You know what I mean? And... You know, the way the brain works, the way the body works, if you can land something fast without the eye practically seeing it, because when you're landing shots and the eyes can see it, the eyes obviously go straight to the brain and say, yes, there's a punch coming, it's going to hit you, it's going to happen. You're going to be prepared for it.
Yes, yes.
But whereas this is where the footwork, this is where the movement comes from, this is where the angles come from. Mm-hmm. You know, you have to catch your opponent unawares. And if you're catching him with shots that he's not waiting on, the brain's not ready for that, which means the body's not ready for that. And that's what puts him on the canvas. But also, you know, as a fight goes on, there's people out there that just have knockout power.
Yes.
You know, and I think I've proven that in the past, that, you know, I have that kind of power that I can leave guys sleeping in the ring. And, you know, I'm delighted to have that because that's something very important in the sport of boxing. It makes your career longer because you're not going... in such grueling fights, 10, 12 rounds, you can get people out of there early and move on to the next one. You know, but for me, you know, I think I have a lot of speed, I have a lot of power, I have a great mixture of everything, and that's the way that I program myself and program my training, is not to specialise in one type of performance or one type of strategy. I like to try and perfect every part of my game.